On this episode of AV Week, we are live from the show floor of InfoComm 2016. We'll talk with integrators, manufacturers, and consultants about the show, the new technology being released, and how the industry is doing. All that and more next on AV Week.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
AV Week is brought to you by our fine group of underwriters, companies like Middle Atlantic. This is AV Week, episode 250, recorded Friday, June 10th, 2016. Live from InfoComm 2016, part 1.
Ready.
AV Week.
Performing scan.
AV Week.
Online.
This is AV Week.
This is AV Week, your weekly wrap-up of audiovisual news and information. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host. We are live from Las Vegas, Nevada at InfoComm 2016. This program, as it has been the last few years, we roll through a number of guests, so please hang on to your hats, hang on to your seats. This will be at least a two-episode part, but we're going to do this in any span of the next 2 hours. Up first, Mr. Clive from AV Magazine. How are you, sir?
The inimitable. Still alive.
The inimitable. Sir Clive Coleman.
Indeed.
Actually, I shouldn't say that because you Englishmen take that sir thing rather seriously, don't you?
I think so. We live it up. We live it up to the front. And I always look like, I'd never been on a Letterman show because I did too much like an exploding mattress on a sofa.
Well, yes. Fantastic. This is kind of neat, isn't it? We'll get into how this happened and everything in a few minutes. Also with us, the left-hand side of my brain and co-founder, Mr. George Tucker. How are you, Bob?
I'm all right. Vertical.
You're vertical.
I'm vertical, sir. Ready for duty.
Well, ready for duty. And last but not least, AV Dawn. How are you, ma'am?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's get this off. Clive, let's start with you here. You, like I said, you're from AV Magazine from the United Kingdom, London. Why on earth are you in Las Vegas?
It's Vegas, baby. We try and come over whenever we can. It's 10 degrees at home, but we go anyway with a bit of sun.
All right.
Although we just underestimated just quite how hot it was.
Yeah.
Walking around like a suit, you know, I stood out like a sore thumb, really. But, you know, it's nice for us to get out here. We were trying to entice all the Brits out to Vegas for once, because they just don't come out here to Vegas for some reason. And it seems silly, because it's a fun capital, and you should be taking it. But a lot of them come. We had 165 people come to our thing last night, and they were all international visitors, so I'm hoping the figures are up. So we need to entice more Europeans out here. They should be out here. And we've seen some amazing stuff out there that's been great for them to see.
George, let's get to the end of that. You and Don both did some booth tours for us. What's one or two things that kind of knocked your socks off?
Oh, gosh, there was so much. There's so much going on. You know, Sennheiser has some very interesting stuff. Sennheiser had what's it called, Crowd Talk. It's little hockey pucks that are, they call it venue independent conferencing. So it's got built-in Skype technology, Bluetooth connectivity. They talk to each other at 1.9 gigahertz, so they're avoiding the FCC white space issues. And it sounds remarkably nice. And it comes in a nice, very stylish European touring bag style, so you can bring it with you anywhere you need to go. And it has a little charging station, stuff like that. You know, aside from that, if you walked around, the LG booth was just fantastic looking. And they had a very thin bezel. I don't know the model number, but it was tiny, double-sided. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
We did one for PowerSoft, and they have a product called Dina, which is a wireless, solar-powered, has GPS, a built-in camera, its own power source or amplifier. They sound beautiful, will last 2 days on a charge. They look gorgeous. And if you don't know PowerSoft, they've done very high-efficiency Class D amplifiers. They're a bunch of Italian guys. And the backstory to this thing about wanting to put audio in Florence piazzas, but all the restrictions.
Yeah.
Can't drill, can't clamp, can't do this, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. And they came up with it. And it really does sound remarkable, and it's a pretty little product. I mean, I have a whole list more, but that was some of the stuff that really impressed. Yeah.
Don, Mr. Tucker mentioned LG. Did you see what I saw? Oh,
yeah. I was there.
Okay.
I was there. So for those that are first-time watchers or first-time listeners, Mr. Tim and I are long-time OLED fanboy, fangirl. We've been waiting, at least I have been waiting for this technology to develop to the wall size for at least 10 years now, and just waiting to get it in my living room. And when I went over to the LG booth, I had to everything said don't touch, but I just wanted to pet it. I just wanted to pet it or stick it in my bag. George mentioned the super thin double-sided OLED, which was amazing, just beautiful. Over in the consumer side, which, you know, we sell commercial, but I am a consumer. And I found my TV over there that Mr. AV Don has to purchase for me pretty soon. But 65, and they're getting a 75-inch 4K OLED, beautiful, super thin, sexy, I want it in my living room right now, TV. So I'm excited about that, as you can tell. I did a couple of shoots here at the show, one for our friends from Display Note, looking at their montage and listening to their lovely Irish accents. Love those guys. I also took and went over to Silicon Core. Hmm. Now, if you remember, last year at this wrap-up, I said the most exciting thing of Infocom 2015 was the massive improvement in LED panels and the pixel pitch getting so tight that it almost was like or better than some of the actual LCD monitors and things that we're selling. And Silicon Core is one, they've actually redeveloped the technology underlying LEDs. I think they call it common cathode versus the technology that all the rest of them use. So it's a proprietary thing, and it's allowed them to get down to a 0.95 pixel pitch on an LED wall. And it's a lot lower energy usage than the regular LED wall technology, and it's a lot cooler than the other LED technology. So they're putting them in boardrooms, they're putting them in training centers, and it is just a beautiful looking image. So I did a shoot there. Mm. Other fun things I saw, I managed to get to the Innovation Pavilion this year.
Good.
In fact, I was there for their awards, and the two companies that won the awards, Realive and Dicom, I believe. If those names are wrong, I apologize. Check my Twitter feed because I tweeted out the pictures of them getting their awards, but they have some fantastic products. I liked a product called Come Here. I mean, I may be pronouncing it wrong, but it's C-O-M-H-E-A-R, and it's basically just a little sound bar that goes under your monitor, but it uses directed array to make, basically it's a surround sound, but with one speaker. It fools you, and they had a demo going in the Innovation Pavilion that was phenomenal. So, you know, little things like that. There's a company out here in the regular part of the floor that basically created giant e-ink, basically like a giant Kindle hanging on the wall that's a virtual flipboard. It's Quirk.
Quirk Logic.
E-ink. And it was very cool use of e-ink and to do flip charting without using a whiteboard. It saves everything on a native memory as well as to the cloud or wherever you want to send it.
And can distribute it.
Yeah, and it can distribute it. And you can, if you have these panels hanging in different offices, you can connect them, and what you draw in one meeting room, it'll show up in the other meeting room.
Wow.
So that you can have simultaneous meeting at distant locations.
Distributed collaboration.
It was a fantastic, cool thing. I was like, those are giant Kindles hanging on the wall.
And it saves, and you can access them through their cloud service and all that other stuff. Now they're not shipping technically till the end of their fiscal year. So who knows when that is, but it could be January, February.
Yeah.
But it looks pretty impressive. There's a little bit of lag. Still a little bit of like latency stuff going on with them, but it's there.
But the question is, how much of that lag is the actual product, and how much of the lag is the crazy overuse of Wi-Fi in this insane building?
Yeah. So they were hardwired, I checked.
Okay.
He admitted it's still an issue, but I mean, they want to get down to 60 milliseconds, which will get you to feel like you're a resistive touch panel.
Right.
So. I was quite impressed. I've sent Michael Shin, and he was like, that's an interesting idea. It will replace the whiteboard if they could be successful. It would be a good option.
Clive, you guys made good use of our booth for a couple of days. What were some of the conversations you were having?
Well, we focus on three things really. Collaboration, which is the much talked about buzzword, really. Try and get something meaningful out of it. Internet of Things, we split that up into more or less deciding that we're looking at two bits of the market. The market that just measures and feeds back what the infrastructure is doing, and the second bit is delivering the AV experience to people on the other side. But we're a way away from that. And the other thing was enterprise AV. You know, how strategic is AV this time? Part of the market, apart from Huddle Room, is going much more strategic in the way it's managed and so on. We're seeing that with all the launch of Audio Network and IP on the same distribution pipe. And this show has been a show about big displays, Silicon Core leading the pack by a long way, fantastic time pitch stuff, and amazing. You know, we saw the LED from LG, OLED from LG a year ago, and it's just amazing. It must be a nightmare to produce that stuff. See, all the great glamour stuff on displays, but underlying that is a really serious part of AV, which is the distribution end, which is what we, you know, we need to take that further and talk about where the infrastructure is going, and that's what we focus on.
Okay. What did you? I mean, you obviously have been on the show before. So, what were one or two things that you?
Well, obviously, Silicon Core stuff is amazing. The LG OLED wallpaper we saw about a year ago. They've taken quite a long time to deliver it. Nightmare to manufacture. You know, walking down the middle of the strip in Vegas, it's amazing how sudden the displays are extraordinary. But they're all popping in a 45-50 degree heat, aren't they? But that was a major change to Vegas when we popped down here. But it's an amazing display led stuff. So stereoscopic stuff from Chinese manufacturers coming out with, I think, some major mall technology, which we'd love to see in the UK. You know, I think it's wasted technology. We could really be transforming our shopping areas with this stuff.
Right.
How expensive it is, how reliable it is, I don't know. But, you know, we're a bit conservative in the UK about this stuff. It's nice to come to America and the US, where we're seeing it. We saw it at CES, and we saw on a big scale what this stuff can do, and we shouldn't do it.
The Sony booth, too. Did you see the Sony booth?
Yeah.
Amazing. I can't figure out, and Matt and I were talking about this, we don't know, and they won't tell us what the panels are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I know that Unilume has something similar, and I saw their thing. You know, like a 1.6 or 1.9 pitch, but it was, you know, they were impressive as all get out.
Chinese really come back with some stuff, haven't they? It's really big offering from the Chinese everywhere.
Yeah.
But Silicon Core still a lead with amazing stuff, I think. Still fantastic 5G stuff.
Don, Clive makes a good point. There have been a number of consolidations and purchases and outright buys and this and the other. Where to the point where there's not a Japanese display manufacturer, flat panel manufacturer left.
Right.
Right, with the exit of Panasonic and the purchase of Sharp. What does that mean? I mean, did you feel that impact here at all?
Well, there were certainly fewer big booths to run around and check out. You know, it used to be you just walked down the entire front half of the other hall, which is the bigger hall, and it was nothing but giant display manufacturer, giant display manufacturer, giant display manufacturer, which was fun to look at. But, I mean, realistically, we all know, those of us in the industry, there's like one company in the world that makes the glass for all of these guys, and they put their own little chipset or their own little plastic bezel around it or whatever, and they call it, you know, to a point, it's the same stuff, it's just fewer outer wrappings on
it. It's like the projectors.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how many of those projectors are really made by each one? They're sort of rewrapped and
how many are
modified.
OEM from,
yeah.
Well, Delta makes it all apart from Christie.
It's true.
It's true. Pretty good quality, I may say.
Right. So, I mean, it'll have a slight impact in that you can't shop, you know, for a lower price, but at the same time, you're getting the same technology, and, you know, if you can't shop the lower price with the manufacturer, you can always check your different distributors. They're always playing price wars, so I think that would be the biggest impact, really.
All right. Clive, we'll wrap this part up with you first. First of all, will you be attending this again?
We do every other year. We're in Orlando.
That's why I'm asking, because I've seen you 2 years in a row now.
You have?
Yeah.
And it's been fun, hasn't it?
It has been a blast. And we'll see you again in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
a year is a long time, maybe.
It's a lifetime.
Stuff changes in 12 months, isn't it? It's extraordinary.
So how do people find you or AV Magazine?
Well, if they're unlucky, they try and search me. I try and keep myself to myself, really. When they meet, they always regret it.
One quick thing. You know, the one thing you guys do that I like a lot, and I wish that we would do here in the States, is you guys, the AV Magazine, does the AV Awards.
Indeed.
Every September.
Thanks for remembering. Of course, you know, our judging is on July the 8th. And of course, everybody's is thinking about Infocom when they come out here, so it's always a bit tight. And we have now oversubscribed our awards from last year in entries. So it's a major rush to get. When they get back from Infocom, they get all the last minute entries in, so we're overdone now. And we have about nearly 30 categories now, so it's really gone nuts. Nice. But you know, it's good. I mean, it's nice to see the different use of AV. It's quite a rich variety of people this year, so it'll be interesting to go through it all.
And AV Interactive is the website?
AVinteractive.com, yeah. All right.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Tucker, how do people find you, sir?
If it's social media, it's that Tucker2s. That's about it. And AV Nation, commercial integrator, higher ed tech. Those are my things.
All right, Ms. Mead?
Well, if you're looking for me corporately, it's net-av.com. NetAV is our integration firm. Myself, you can find me on most of the social networks at AVDawn. And you can always find me on AV Nation here, hosting the AV Social Show with the fabulous prize-winning Kelly Perkins and a variety of guests. So check us out.
Yeah, we've connected with a number of really great social folks in the last few months and really looking forward to what we got coming. So thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I'll get these folks out of here and we'll get another group of folks in here. So thank you guys so much. One thing, and I said I would tell this story. Actually, Clive's the reason we have a video wall. So they were nice. AV, absolutely, you're totally to blame. AV Magazine was nice enough to let us use their booth at ISD in Amsterdam. Came back from there. Thank you, sir, so much.
Okay.
We came back from there, and I called up a couple buddies, and one of them was Hanan from PrimeView. And I said, hey, look, here's a picture of what AV Magazine had in their booth. I want to do the same thing. So he got to working, and we put some things together, and he made some calls, and we got this very nice PrimeView display wall in our booth. He made a call, another call, and we got a broadcast desk, which was very nice. And so VizRT and PrimeView worked together. We also have some Harman speakers in here, so very cool. And Chief Mounts holding all this wonderful stuff up. So, all right, coming up next, this is going to be trouble, but. Mr. Paul Zeeley, how are you, brother?
Just fine.
Paul Zeeley from Harman, by way of AMX.
In my last appearance at Infocom 16.
Wow, I feel special. Thank you for coming, sir. Mr. Brock McGinnis from Westbury, how are you, sir?
I'm exhausted.
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry.
But other than that, just fine.
And the one cool thing about Brock is if you attended the show, you saw a bigger than life-size picture of him over at the commercial integrator booth, gracing the side of their booth. So
I got my signed copy of CI.
Really?
With Brock.
I don't have a signed copy of that.
I had to bring it to him. It's not like he presented
it
to me.
Yes.
I took him home in a limo last night.
Yeah. All day. Well, yeah, that was. And Harry Mead from NetAV. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am well, man.
I'm tired.
Okay. Just like the rest of us.
Fitbit says I'm at like 60 miles this week.
Probably. Actually, I want to start with you, Harry, because here's the thing. One thing that Harry does that I find is interesting. Harry does something called, he calls a swag hunt. And the swag hunt sounds kitschy and a little bit kiddish on the front of it. But it actually has an economic reason. So how is your swag hunt this year? What is your swag report? And why the heck do you do it?
Well, it started out because I like free stuff. But what it's become is, and yes, I do actually use, I do use that hashtag every once in a while, yes, I use the swag, and take pictures of me actually using things. But what it's become is kind of getting an economic gauge of, because when times are really good, marketing budgets are up, freebies happen, lots of cool things happen, and you can tell that, but also you can tell the converse of that as well. When things aren't going as great, marketing budgets are down, freebies start to be a little thin on the ground, and you start getting candy and things like that. So
how was it this year then?
Some manufacturers are doing very well. Many are if judging based off of swag only, many are not doing as well.
If you have to put a 60-40 on one side or the other?
I'd say some of the big booth guys are doing well. But anything below like a 60-60?
Not so well.
Starting to run into a little bit of lean going on. Everybody's still singing the Lego Everything Is Awesome song. But some of them are singing a little louder than others.
Understood. Mr. McGinnis, how was your show?
My show was great. Good. And I think that the reason that manufacturers can't afford to give away great swag is they have put all their money into R&D.
Because
we are seeing a ton of new developments this week that some unexpected, some widely anticipated, but there's a sea change going on in the industry.
Is it a good thing?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. Crestron's in the audio business in a big way. And Biamp is going into the video business in a big way. That's a sea change in our industry, and I think it's fantastic. I had no idea I'd walk in this week and see the best display that I've ever seen in my life, because I didn't think they could get better. But Sony's, whatever that Cletus technology is, or as I tried to coin on Twitter, the OMFG chip.
Yes.
That is a spectacular picture.
Paul, you jumped in as a manufacturer. You said that sea change is good. Why is that?
Because I would like there to be an AV industry in 5 years. And if the AV industry doesn't change some of its courses, the IT industry will just take the application and run with it.
One thing that Paul does a lot is he teaches a lot of courses. He taught a course with me this week, sort of, kinda. You taught before I even got there, so.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about networked AV.
Yes. Right?
Putting audio and video both in the network, some of the pitfalls of that. Where is that going? I mean, and I shouldn't ask where it's going to end up, because I understand it's constantly changing and evolving. But maybe where is it going in the next year?
Over the next year, you're going to see more media being transported over AV, and when I say media transporting, there is a change in the application from what we have always called streaming and IPTV, or the webcast, to real-time media transport of full range signals. And we're seeing more and more of it with every other booth seems to have some sort of way of running video across a network, because those are pathways that are already there. And figuring out how to get around the issues that a video stream tends to be a really big stream with taking a lot of bandwidth is going to take some time, but we're starting to see really good quality, really immediate, low latency video going across existing gigabit networks that are well planned, but are specifically designed as AV networks. And I think we'll see more of that, and it will go that way in the future. And that's a natural evolution. I think we'll start to see more hybrid devices. Right now, we tend to see discrete boxes for streaming versus discrete boxes for HDMI switching. I think we'll start to see more hybrid boxes that meet both the room and the wide area needs, very much like we see boxes with mixtures of HDMI and HDBaseT for different types of transports. The issues that will solve that are the same issues we always have. The first generation products have big hot chips in them, and you can't squeeze them tightly together in a box, but the nature of technology is it improves in the size and heat load falls down. So I think we'll see a gradual evolution over the next few years of integrating where a network just becomes yet another way to get a source from point A to point B. And then at some point after that, we will actually see it start to probably move down to the point that, you know, today I can, from my Windows 8 PC, choose to put it up on my Surface Hub without having an AV switch or an HDMI cable in there. It runs through the network. And, you know, that's going to be an interesting thing with the AV world, because slowly that box will shrink and or disappear, or the number of boxes will go away. That doesn't mean the value is not still there. That doesn't mean the application's not still there. It just doesn't look the same. And the parts I'm struggling with is how to keep that money sticking to us and not have it go to Microsoft.
Right. So, Brock, Harry, as the integrators on this couch, how does that change what you do?
We have to be IT. We have to be able to go in and speak the language, be fluent, be able to be able to use more standards-based things, like a lot of these IP videos that are coming through now. It's things that the IT managers already understand. So it's like, okay, I just need a Cisco XYZ switch, and I can do video from room to room with very little issue if I've got just this box in this room and this box in that room, and then everything works the same way we've been doing it. So we have to really get more fluent in IT, and one of the things that I've noticed in my own market, there's been a couple of big integrators that have gone away in the last year. And primarily it's because they weren't doing any network-based anything. They were doing old school projector wall plate, maybe a switcher if it's got some extra stuff in it, and knock that out, and that's just not going to cut it anymore.
And even if it is, it's not where the real money is, because that's going into the small jobs, and it's been a number of years before since an AV company lived on the margins involved in projectors. Mm-hmm. When I started in AV, they were willing to get to pass through the video conferencing and the rest of it completely so they could sell the projectors, because that was where the money is.
No, the money's in the lamps.
Oh, in the lamps, yeah. But it's not like the industry hasn't seen these. Where is the profit center coming from? As projectors commoditized, a lot of AV companies made their money in VTC, which is way down because it's now done in a computer. They're switching. Switching will be migrating. There's still an application, and it's still worth a certain amount of money for a company to have a collaboration space. It's just that technology mix, being technology, is going to continue to evolve. And we just have to make sure that this industry can remain in that conversation as it evolves more towards IT.
Brock, how do we get more fluent in IT and also sell like we used to? Or does that change the sales process, or maybe the sales positioning?
I think we have, over the past 5, 6, 7 years, become increasingly fluent in IT. And we don't even talk about that anymore. That is an everyday part of our job. The movement of AV decision making and AV operations within the enterprise from facilities to IT has occurred. This is not something we need to talk about anymore. Margins have changed, products have changed. What has remained constant, Tim, in the middle is that there is a requirement in those rooms for audio and video and control and the adaptation of that technology to the users and the space in which they're going to meet. That is called integration. We are integrators. And IT people are not integrators, they're appliance people. Does the IT department want to buy a Surface Hub? And do they, you know, and plug it in and make it work and they understand it? Yes, it's wonderful. Let them have a video conference with 8 people and see how happy they are with that technology. The technology is magic. It's not an 8-person video conference unit. It may not even be a 4-person video conference unit.
Four people who want to sit really close to the screen.
Really, really close, because that lens is designed for somebody who is physically using the screen as a touch screen at that time. So it's the wrong solution, even though if it hits all of the check marks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to provide the level of service that IT has become accustomed to getting, and they will pay for it, which we love. Because facilities never wanted to pay for service. They wanted to pay for a service call. They did not want the belt and suspenders and duct tape approach that IT does, that, you know, effectively is based around, it's your fault, you take care of it.
Right.
That's what IT wants, because they don't have the personnel on site. They're used to third-partying their expertise, and they're used to third-partying their service. So I'm not... The fact that the industry is changing is not, to me, a concern, either job security or the longevity of the company. If you didn't stop selling projectors for a living, if you sold, for example, smart boards, and, you know, another sea change occurring in the industry where you know, smart sales dropped to the point where their business was no longer sustainable, and they had to
and they got purchased,
and they had to effectively be taken over by another company in order to keep the doors open.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of integrators that, you know, that's all they did, smart boards.
Yeah.
K-6 is all they did. K-12 was all they did. Well, if there's anything, any integrator that can look at a business segment or a client or a technology and say, that's all they did, they're going to be in trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be diverse. We have to be agile. Every year we have to change.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And, you know, it's, I often say the coolest part of my job is I get to, you know, even as an older guy in the industry, learn something new absolutely every day. And this week has been full of new stuff, new technologies, new approaches. There's been a lot of R&D money spent in this industry this year. And people are delivering products faster out of their R&D programs than ever before, because they don't want to get left behind.
Yeah.
And if you believe the stories, it's not just the past year, it's the past 3, 5 years, depending on which product we're talking about. So, all right, guys, thank you so much, Mr. Paul Zeeley. How do people find you or AMX?
AMX.com.
There we go.
You can follow me on my Twitter.
We got Paul on Twitter.
At Paul Zeeley.
Wow.
And if I get enough people, I'll actually tweet.
How many people do you want?
Give me another 100 and I'll start putting them out.
Where's
daily.
Chris Netto? Chris Netto, get Paul Zeeley 100 followers.
Yeah, I need 100 followers Twitter, and I'll start tweeting daily and actually have substance to the
content. All right, then. There's
right.
a challenge. Thank you, sir, so much. Brock, thank you, sir, as always. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to participate, Tim.
Anything, you follow you on Twitter, or is that?
At Brock McGinnis.
All right. That's very nice.
I'm there often.
All right. Mr. I almost called you Netto. Mr. Mead.
I am not from Jersey.
Mr. Grump.
Mr. Grump. How do people find you?
At AV Grump on Twitter. And the same website as Don was saying, net-av.com.
All right. Very good. Thanks, guys, so much. Grab your flights if you're flying out tonight.
Yep.
Thank you all so much. We'll get the next group of guys through here. As they do that, another thing that Brock mentioned, the Crestron DSP, that was interesting. That was one of my interesting ones. Crestron, and I told them this is not new. The DSP that they've had to date was in their DMPS, not the greatest DSP in the world, but it was functional. The things that they released allowed you to. That they released this week allows you to click certain aspects of the DSP, drag it into VT Pro E, which is their graphic builder,
and magically creates pages. So I'm kind of excited about that.
You can be excited, though. We'll have words about whether or not it's ready for prime time.
You are muted there.
I don't care.
All right,
let's
introduce the next next victim, Mr. Award-winning young AV professional, Josh Schrago.
Thank you, Tim.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's it was a little overwhelming of an honor. It's, you know, we do something digitally and we don't always get a response, so it's, you don't quite know what the reaction is going to be, and then all of a sudden I was honored with the award, and it never really quite hit me until they called my name, and it was all, you sort of heard the response, and that was when it sort of like, oh wow, what we're doing is making a difference. We're moving the needle. We're doing things, and it felt really good.
Good, yeah, well deserved. Frank Coletta, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
How was your show?
Show has been fantastic. If I look good, it's only on the outside. Tired and strung out on the inside, but
well,
all
there
for
is
the
that.
Right reasons.
Yeah, and my buddy and pal and new host of State of Control, Mr. Steve Greenblatt. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Good.
How are you?
I'm with Frank. Tired, strung out, waiting for my coffee to get here, and we'll go from there. You know what? Steve, we'll start with you on this. Steve is the head of Control Concepts, independent programming company. I had Steve go do a couple of booth tours for us on purpose, right? One was a company called Global Cache, which the Global Cache does as peripherals to connect. Basically, they take things that aren't IP and makes them IP, right? The other one, though, was Kramer and their control system. You can give me your take on those or anything else that you saw this week.
Sure. Well, the sad thing that I will bring up is that there's a lot of push towards less programming, and that I always get the question, is your purpose going to go away? You know, are products going to not need programming anymore? Or are you scared by the marketing that there's no programming in this product, or they're pushing no programming required? The simple answer that I say is that those projects aren't the projects that we typically would work on anyway. And there's always going to be the complex systems. And I agree that we need to keep that stigma that the what's easy should be made easy. And I think that that's what some of the manufacturers, Kramer being one of them, Crestron another, with AV Framework, they're trying to make our ecosystem and make our products and services more attainable to the end user, so that they don't have to be scared away, and that they're willing to adopt these products that we provide rather than going to maybe a more consumer-based solution. And that's a good thing, because we rely on having that backbone, and we rely on having the platform, and so huddle rooms and simple boardrooms and a straightforward video conferencing system should be easy and no-brainer. But you always are going to look at the complex multi-purpose rooms. You're going to look at having to have consistency across an enterprise. That's a lot of what we are looking to do as a skilled programming resource. The cloud is a big thing right now, and I think that's where a lot of we see a lot of things headed, and it's great that more and more manufacturers' equipment are programmable.
Yeah. Frank, what's a couple of things that you saw this week that have knocked your socks off?
Well, we finally cleared the 1,000 exhibitor point.
Okay.
And I would, since we're in Vegas, I'll bet that at least 500 of them are showing either AV over IP or collaboration. If I had $50 for every booth that had the word hub in it, or huddle, I'd have probably $100 in my pocket. So I think between AV over IP and collaboration solutions and the variety of those, I think that by far stands out. Possibly only second to the proliferation of AVB at the show.
Okay.
At the mic level, certainly at the processing level with BiAmp and others, I think that's really big news as well. Probably those three things.
Right. Mr. Award winner?
You're not going to let that go for a little while.
Not until next year. Not until there's another one.
Fair enough.
What's your biggest takeaway? What do you see this week?
The little time I got to spend on the show floor, it was a little different this time for me. I wasn't looking necessarily for the bright and shiny. The bright and shiny was pretty, but there were the large crowds there. And I ended up finding little nuanced things that would make my job easier or allow for little features to improve upon systems that are currently going out. One of the coolest features I saw was a future, it's not out yet, but a future product that's going to come from Everts, where you have a transmitter receiver for video over fiber, but in addition to that, they're going to put USB in, so that way if somebody walks up to a lectern and it's a guest or it's somebody that's not high tech, they can actually connect USB directly to the laptop that's presenting and then take it over from the technician location, so that way they can support them that way, as opposed to, oh, I can't get onto the Wi-Fi. Oh, okay, well, great. Here, plug that USB cord in and I will get you connected.
So it's a KVM extender almost.
It's KVM extension for support aspect built into transceiving video and audio. So over fiber. And that's just, I thought that was really cool.
And the latency on that has got to be almost zero.
The latency is practically nothing. And then on top of that, you know, just table boxes and things that previously I didn't go and look at as an engineer for an integrator, because I was thinking of making my systems work and less about making them pretty and integrating into architecture fields. But moving over to the consultant field, I'm looking at mounts and I'm looking at table boxes and going, that's really cool, and this is shallower, and I can use this in this application, and having those kinds of conversations was it was a very different show for me from that perspective.
Is that because of your move over to being a consultant?
Yeah, because of moving over to the consultant, while the engineering of these systems is still very, very important, and what I get paid to do, I also get paid to look at the table boxes, which I wasn't doing before. I wasn't as concerned about, and I don't want to call it ubiquitous, but mounts and table boxes aren't the bright and shiny things that people come to the show to see necessarily.
No, but they're important.
But they're very, very important, and the little things that go with that allow us to create a much more engulfing experience, because it's cohesive as somebody walks into the room as to how they're going to utilize it. And that's extremely important in the way that we design AV systems.
Steve, what's your biggest takeaway from this week?
I always am the one that doesn't talk about the hardware. I'm going to tell you the conversations and the enthusiasm and the optimism. I think the fact that we're really embracing the network, and we're also starting to think about what we do as more of IT solutions. And that's a good thing to see. I think that we're collectively doing that as an industry.
Frank, either as a member of Infocom or as your company, what's your takeaway this week?
I'll give you a quick on both. From the Infocom level, the threshold of 1,000 exhibitors and the record-setting attendance, especially in Vegas, because we usually get a little more in Florida.
Did you just say record-setting attendance?
That's what we're aiming towards now. I didn't feel the final numbers yet. Did you hear different?
No, I just thought you gave us the final numbers.
No, I did not. I did not. That was completely unofficial.
Breaking.
It's only quarter three.
You're still counting
the
ballots.
We're on target to have a record, and certainly we usually get a little less out in Vegas than we do in Florida, so that's good. So I think, but the other thing, important thing, is the 1,000 exhibitors. That's the first time we've crossed that. So the fact that we added 60 or 70 new exhibitors, I think, is important. It's indicative of the change in our industry and the new things that come to the market. Often consultants will tell me, you know, go to the big booths. The big booths are going to come to us when we get back home. Go to the people that are developing, people like right across the way here, Utelogy, a small company that's making big waves. That's the people we need to seek out at the show, because, you know, Crestron and Extron and everybody else is going to come see us when we get home anyway. We're never going to lose track of that. So that's that. And then on the personal side, cloud-based solutions along with the AV over IP proliferation is just, it's staggering at this point. I think it's past mature and in high gear right now.
All right. Mr. Strigo, you'll have the last word here?
Don't I always?
Typically, yes.
You know,
it depends how long we go.
This is true. This show, it felt different. And I don't want to sound like a California hippie, but there was just a different energy this year than there's been the last two or three years. There was a lot more excitement. The education uptick by changing from a direct registration to a package variation, where you can adjust your schedule based on your needs on the fly, or if you didn't see a class and you want to jump into it, you can. That is a massive and significant change, especially because it's putting more bodies in the seats in the classroom. And that's a huge thing as somebody who teaches the classes and goes to these. The inclusion of IoT We had the IoT Insights on Super Tuesday. We had IoT Pavilion. Constantly people talking about how technology isn't just talking to us anymore, or how we're tracking technology, but our technology is talking to technology, and how that affects us, and how we're going to grow with that and develop with that. These are all very, very big things that this industry is still starting to move towards, and is really learning to embrace that this is where it's going to be. And that was even shown in the class selection, with this sheer number of network-based training courses. There was a lot of them this year, and they were all very full, from my understanding. So these were all wonderful things to see at the show, and it's continued growth, it's continued evolution, and it's just great to see this kind of excitement after, you know, not necessarily that people weren't enthusiastic previously, but there seemed to be more enthusiasm. And even though we're still in the evolutionary changes, there was not one piece that I saw that was like, oh my God, this is an absolute game changer. But we are still evolving, and everyone is starting to get behind that evolution as we roll towards our next progress.
All right. That's a good way to end it. Thank you so much, sir. How do people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at jsrago, S-R-A-G-O, LinkedIn, or you can email me at josh@avnation.tv.
Very good. Frank Collada, thank you, sir.
It'd be my pleasure, and you can find me just via our website, easy, www.simcoinc.com.
Very good. Mr. Greenblatt, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
How do people find you or Control?
So find me on Twitter, Snapchat, which is
very good. See, Strago, even show. Greenblatt's on Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm on Snapchat. I even took over Infocoms.
Yes, I saw that.
That's Steve Greenblatt, and our newly released and newly branded website, controlconcepts.net. So please check that out.
Very good. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. That's going to do it for the first hour. Don't go anywhere. Are we streaming? Okay, so don't go anywhere. Don't stop the stream. We're going to take a small break, but this will be the end of the first episode live from Infocom 2016. Go by the website, though, if you would, please, avnation.tv, avnation.tv. You will find this program, a host of others, and a host of new hosts. That gentleman right there, Mr. Steve Greenblatt, is the new host of State of Control. We recorded our first program of EdTech with a new host. A young man by the name of Bill O'Donnell is taking over that program. Resi Week has been taken over by Matt D. Scott. By this time next week, I will be out of a job. So, anybody want to hire an over-the-hill, you know, I don't even know what the heck I am anymore.
So where do we find you?
Yeah, exactly. Where do you find? Yeah. But avnation.tv, thanks so much for watching. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the first hour of AV Week from Infocom.